listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to talk about America and the freedoms we have and the freedoms we used to have. The important thing that I want to bring up to you and put it right up front is this. If we continue to lose our freedoms at the present rate that we are, and if you or somebody you know isn't aware of the fact that you are losing your freedoms on a very rapid basis, if we continue to lose our freedoms at this rapid rate, we will be in a nation that, for all practical purposes, whether you want to call it a soft totalitarian nation or a totalitarian nation, we will be in such a nation. All you have to do, I mean, it really doesn't take a whole lot of intelligence or whatever you want to call it to analyze this. All you have to do is look at any particular trend going on in America now, such as the erosion of freedom of speech. And you see through all kinds of subtle stealth mechanisms, your right, your constitutional right to freedom of speech is being ripped from you. And the way it's being done is through all these ulterior motives, like the politically correct language, verbal control. You can't say this, you can't say that. Why? Why can't you say this? Why can't you say that? Why can't you believe this or believe that and say it? Because it's not politically correct. And so don't think for a minute that the politically correct agenda just, you know, materialized out of nowhere. There is a hierarchy in America and in the world, a hierarchical form of rulership. Remember the pyramid, the pyramidical organizational flowchart. And there is an elite group. It doesn't matter what you call them. I mean, that's basically irrelevant. But there's an elite group that is controlling our world. And they're controlling it through what you can say, what you can't say, what you can think, what you cannot think. So that's just one, and that's huge. And then you have what you can believe and what you can't believe. And a focal point, a main target of all of this is biblical Christianity. And whether it's said openly or whether it is not said, biblical Christianity is a major target. And their goal is to eradicate, it's to remove, it's to stamp out biblical Christianity and to completely muzzle and silence the voices of Christians. Because you can't have a totalitarian state and allow true biblical Christianity to be practiced or expressed by the people. So this is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer when you understand that any examination of history in the last 150 years shows you the same pattern. You go to a particular nation like Communist Russia, Communist China, the Nazis with Adolf Hitler. They always, Hitler played like he was a Christian initially to get power, but then he stamped out all forms of true Christianity. In Communist Russia, Communist China, and other communist nations, they completely shut down Christians, they persecute Christians. They jail Christians. They put them in concentration camps, re-education camps. Why? Because you can't have a totalitarian state and allow Christianity. And then if you really want to dig deeper and get to the spiritual root of what's causing this, it's this. Communism, Marxism, secular humanism, and all these totalitarian ideologies, at their root, they're energized by the spirit of Antichrist. Now, not the Antichrist with a capital A in the book of Revelation. He will materialize and he will rule the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economic system. But prior to that, whenever you have a set of thoughts, an ideology, or a belief system that has to attack, has to destroy, has to demolish biblical Christianity or anything to do with biblical Christianity, that can be classified as the spirit of Antichrist with the small a. So what we have in America right now is what has happened in all these communist revolutions that I just mentioned to you. We have the spirit of Antichrist at work in our media, in our major institutions, in government, and in many, many, in culture, music, film, TV, and in many sectors of our society, the spirit of Antichrist is attacking Christianity, Christian beliefs, and the Bible, and Jesus Christ. And this, make no mistake about it, this sets up the platform for a tyrannical rule, for a dictatorship, or for a totalitarian regime. Now, we are moving very quickly in that direction. So the question has to be asked among those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, or whatever other term we use. Those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, those of us that believe in the Bible as the Word of God, we are the target. Now, if you go to a church or you participate in a ministry or you get together in a prayer meeting or a Bible study group or any number of the different ways that Christians come together to supposedly read God's word and pray, etc., etc. But if you never acknowledge the elephant in the living room, and this is a big, stinking elephant, it's huge, it's gigantic, and you're in a room with a bunch of Christians, it could be a church, it could be somebody's house, doesn't matter where it is, and they never acknowledge the elephant that is in the room. How could you not acknowledge the elephant that's in the room? It's gigantic and it stinks. How could you not acknowledge the elephant that's in the room? So now you already know where we're going with this. That is exactly the response of the majority of Christians, the majority of Christian ministries, the majority of Christian churches, not all, and the majority of Christian pastors, and not all in that area also. They are ignoring the elephant in the living room, and then they are turning their eyes away from the historical lessons, the biblical lessons that always come to pass before God's people go into captivity and into slavery. Now, this is very serious, and it should be sobering to you. So, there are ways that people attempt to deal with this. And one of the major ways is to deny it, to say it isn't happening, it's not true, you know, oh, you're overreacting. And the big word is, oh, it can't happen here. It can't happen here. And that is the exact words. Those are the exact words that the Jews used and Christians used in Nazi Germany while the Holocaust was going on, while Jews and others were being taken from their homes, their houses, their businesses. They would disappear. And then they would be smuggled onto trains that would take them to the various concentration camps that were constructed throughout Germany. And they were lied to, and the Jews and others on these trains were lied to by the Nazis. They were told, you're going to this, they didn't, of course, you'd tell them it was a concentration camp, but you're going somewhere, I don't know what the word was they used, you're going to get job training. And they were happy about that because they were brainwashed. They thought that the Nazis were going to train them so that they could feed their families, they could have a future. But it was a total and a complete lie that was being told to them. Now, when their delusion over what was happening was so bad when they went to the concentration camps, when they even went through the doors of the concentration camps, they still believed they were getting job training. I looked at one particular black and white photo on the internet. Maybe you've seen it. And there are about, now it looks like there's about 500 men, probably mostly Jews, but others also. And they were all dressed in suits, and they had their hats, and they looked like they were going to work. And they were all dressed as if they were going to a job interview, because that's what the Nazis told them. So they looked as good as they could. They had their ties on, their shirts. And they believed that they were going to go to a job interview or a series of job interviews. And they continued to cling to that fantasy right up until the moment that they began to enter the area where the ovens were and the gas chambers were. And a huge percentage, primarily men, but also women, a huge percentage of men and women continued to believe right up until they got to the doors of the gas chambers that they were going to get a shower to get cleaned up for their job interview. And then They still believed in that delusion even as they entered the giant rooms where what they thought were showers were. So they walk into what they think is a shower room because it has, you know, these devices on the ceiling that kind of look like the heads of a shower where water sprays out, you know, with the holes and stuff. But when the showers were turned on, and they still think they're going to, you know, get soap and water and get cleaned up, and they're looking forward to getting cleaned up. And then when the showers get turned on, there's kind of a mist coming out of the shower heads. And a few minutes later, there's coughing everywhere in the room. And then there's this sudden, abrupt horror and realization among all the men or whoever in the giant shower room. There's this sudden realization that those aren't shower heads, that this is a gas chamber. And what's coming out of what they thought were shower heads was poisonous gas. And that's why people were coughing and starting to drop dead on the shower floor naked. I won't go on any further than I have, because it's so horrific to think of what happened to all those people. So something like 34, 35 million people, both Jews and others, were killed during the Holocaust in either the gas chambers or the ovens where their bodies were burned, you know, because they didn't want a bunch of dead bodies around. So they had to burn the bodies till they turned to ashes. Now, they continue, but this is what haunts me and should haunt you. They continue to believe up until the last seconds the lie they were told. Now, they had been told, some of them for a relatively long period of time, they had heard the rumors that there were gas chambers, there were concentration camps, there were ovens. They weren't completely, you know, oblivious to this. They had heard about it. People tried to tell them. But whenever people tried to tell them about the gas chambers and the showers and the concentration camps, their response was denial. They responded to anybody trying to tell them about what was going on by denial. And they would use these words as they responded to the person desperately trying to communicate to them a warning about what was happening. They responded to the person's warning them by saying, "Oh, that can't happen here." Well, in other words, it can't happen here and in Germany. This is Germany. People are too good. There's no way this could happen in Germany. It can't happen here. And they said it over and over again. Now, the whole point of history is to learn the lessons of history. You've heard the expression, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so we have Christians, I'd say the majority of Christians in America, Bible-believing Christians, not all of them, but most of them. They've heard all kinds of rumors. I don't need to repeat to you. You've heard the rumors too. And the Christians who hear the rumors are basically saying the same things that the Jews and the others said in Germany. Oh, that can't happen here. No, this is America. That can't happen here. There's no way that could happen here. And so they dismiss the people warning them. Or they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You believe in conspiracy theories? There's a variety of expressions and words and vocabulary that you can use in an attempt to express your psychological denial of a warning. And in America, the majority of the people are in psychological denial. So you know where I'm going with this. I think most of you get it, right? Because this is what happens. You either get it or it gets you. So what do you do? Well, if you do nothing, you know where that goes. You just have to look at every place around the world where the people did nothing, because it's usually an incremental process. So doing nothing is not a solution that works. Lying low is another popular solution, and that doesn't work either. It didn't work in, 1970 in communist Russian Revolution. And that was a long time ago. It didn't work in Nazi Germany. And in Nazi Germany, the Nazis took track of every person, their age, their ancestry, whether they were Jews, their race, their ethnic group. They were very interested in finding and keeping records of who were Jews and who were not Jews. And they didn't keep any electronic records in Russia or China or Nazi Germany, because that technology was not around yet. It started to be. IBM, this was later into the war period with the Nazis. IBM invented a card. Maybe a lot of you don't even remember this, but years ago, before the internet and all the electronic stuff, you would take a test for a computer or whatever, and a little teeny square piece would be cut out of an index card. So you'd have an index card type thing and like a whole bunch of little teeny square rectangular cutouts. And that was put through a machine, a mechanical machine. And somehow they were able to keep a typewritten record. But prior to that, the Nazis kept records on everybody through shoeboxes and index cards. And that was a very painful and a very slow, methodical way of keeping data on every individual in Nazi Germany. They used a filing system with index cards and shoeboxes. And even though Hitler and the Nazis were sophisticated in so many ways, the way they kept track of everybody, like who goes to the concentration camp, who doesn't, who gets gassed to death, who gets burned in the oven. And I'm not being cavalier about this at all. They kept track of everybody through index cards, shoeboxes. And yet, with just index cards and shoeboxes, they systematically killed 34 million people that they had already pre-selected. 34 million people. Now, today, the level and sophistication of our electronic surveillance technology is staggering. It's like science fiction has come true. So, profiling people, keeping records on people, pictures of people, keeping files on their belief systems can be done through electronic surveillance so easily, so simply. And then when you add to it things like artificial intelligence and the sophistication of computer technology, laptops, cell phones, your big screen TV, your flat screen TV, And every electronic device that has a computer system in it is not only an audio-video recording device, it's a filing device of everything. So you say, well, this is America, it can't happen here. So just look at communist China and their mass electronic surveillance system that tracks everything on every citizen. It micromanages their lives. It's called the Chinese social credit system. And you can see it on the internet, and you'll see a camera following a citizen with numerical scores superimposed over them in real time, like when they're ready to cross the street, when they're walking down the street. You've seen the numbers, which represents their numerical scores. The numbers are either getting higher or lower, depending upon how obedient they are to all the rules they have. And so if they're caught littering, it lowers their social credit score. God forbid they would have a Bible in their hand, or they would read a Bible alone in their house, or read a Bible with other people in somebody's house. You would be completely destroyed through their social credit system. You would not be able to get a job. You would not be able to feed your family. So there you see, and in other nations that have this technology, you see a total electronic dictatorship. So that's where this technology will always lead, unless there is something or someone to hold it accountable to restrain it. And it inevitably becomes a weapon against Christianity and Christians, because, after all, they're not politically correct. Now, in many of the nations where these dictatorships are in place, like China, the people were always under the rule of some harsh regime. It wasn't all that great in Russia when the Tsar was running things. But in America, America is one of the most unique nations in human history, because America was largely built by men and women who were Bible-believing Christians, who were saved, who had the Holy Spirit in them. The Pilgrims and Puritans who fled the religious persecution of England and came to America to establish colonies. And yes, there was the involvement of the Freemasons and others. But collectively, they built a free society with the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And those Bill of Rights and that Constitution was designed to protect them, to protect America, the new America, from being brought into tyranny and slavery by force from the King of England and his armies. So that essentially has restrained tyranny and totalitarianism from fully expressing itself in America since the founding of our nation. But in recent decades, there's been a dark turn, and the very laws and rules and rights that are still there. I mean, they're still in effect. They still should be abided in. I mean, theoretically, you're supposed to have in America freedom of speech. Theoretically, you're supposed, well, not theoretically, you do have it legally. But if you try to use it, who's going to protect you when you try to use your freedom of speech or freedom of press or freedom of religion? I mean, legally, it's the highest law in our land. Legally, you have those rights, and you're supposed to be using them and enjoying them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But in the real world, there's nobody there like there used to be to protect your rights, to make sure they aren't stolen from you. You have all these mechanisms and electronic surveillance and all kinds of things that people know about. Most people don't know about it. But they're not protecting your rights anymore. And that presents basically what you call a crisis. So the question that should be asked by Christians above any people group in America, because it is Christians who are going to be the biggest target, because this is going to be all about freedom of speech is illegally overturned through politically correct rules. Politically correct rules stomp out freedom of speech. And you could go down the list. There's always an excuse. There's always a rationale. There's always a reason. There's always propaganda. There's always mind control to promote the destruction of our rights as citizens. So, we're here at the crossroads, and time is running out. And if you try to hide through delusion and denial, I mean, there's no place to hide. So, in a moment, we're going to come back and look at what we can do about it while the windows of opportunity are still open to whatever degree, what we can do about it, and how we can go about doing what we're supposed to do, and also the consequences of doing nothing about it. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report on Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. By the way, on the books that we offer that I've written, I deal with this subject in all of the books in different ways, everything from technology to mind control to DNA to God's power, God's miraculous power to answer prayer. And all those books are at a discount at paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a minute on Paul McGuire. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So this is where we are. And you can respond to what I've talked to you about in one of two ways. You can go into denial and say it's not true, it can't happen here. Or you can face, as painful as it seems, you can face reality. Because in the process of facing reality, you have the opportunity of changing things that are happening now and in the future. You have the opportunity of changing things to whatever degree. And by changing those things, You have the opportunity of preserving freedom, freedoms like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. Read your constitutional freedoms and the Bill of Rights. And notice the things in society that are being used to manipulate the masses as a justification of taking away your rights. Wake up. And then you've got to ask yourself the question, what options do I have? And if you look at history, laying low doesn't work. Hiding doesn't work. The days of hiding, I mean, what fantasy of the world are you living in? They have shot into outer space with Elon Musk alone, his rocket, SpaceX, something like 35,000 new satellites are up there that can spy from outer space, locate anybody at any time. The synthetic technologies that are embedded in people, and you are a broadcasting antenna or a receiving antenna, whether you realize it or not, and on and on and on. The door is still open to make law-abiding, peaceful changes. That is your only hope. Now you can manipulate the Bible and say, well, God's going to pull us all out of this. I hate to break it to you. I'm not attacking your position on the rapture, but I am challenging you, because where in the Bible does it say that American Christians get taken out of here before persecution or tribulation? Just American Christians. It doesn't say that. I hope God does rapture us before the tribulation period. As my spiritual mentor said regarding the timing of the rapture, he said, Jack Hayford, he said, first bus that comes, I'm out of here. Well, that's what I want too. I'm out of here the first bus that comes. But Jesus said, occupy until I come. So there's nothing in the Bible that says that there isn't going to be tribulation and persecution and adversity before Christ comes. It doesn't say that. Now, we can get into a whole discussion, which we don't have time for right now, but you have to occupy until he comes. And we all hope he comes before the Antichrist is revealed. But that still doesn't deny the fact that we're supposed to occupy until he comes. And so we have an opportunity. God has given us an opportunity now to change our nation. And that begins with prayer. And the level of prayer, because the level of crisis that we're in is through the roof. And so really, with our consciences hopefully clean before the Lord, we all know deep inside our hearts that the level of prayer that God requires right now from his people, God is asking us to engage in the maximum level of prayer that we can, to pray for our nation, to pray for an authentic and biblical revival, to pray that the wicked are removed from power and righteous men and women are put into power, and that revival breaks out among God's people. Maybe it will not, a revival will not break out among all God's people. But if revival breaks out among a remnant of God's people, that does more than anything else to impact our nation and to affect positive change and to put the brakes on this railroad or this highway to hell. The way to stop this highway to hell is prayer, revival, and then standing up intelligently and practically and participate in the political process and in your local communities and states and whatever. You either get in gear now and get engaged now while there's time, or we will lose everything. I don't believe that has to happen, but there has to be a movement. There has to be God's people rising in response and personal revival in the hearts of God's people, and it has to be now. That's the purpose of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. It's to affect this change. But I can't do it alone. I can only do it to the degree I communicate to you and to the degree that you communicate this message to those that need to hear it. I can only do this ministry to the degree that you partner with me in prayer, you partner with me in your financial contributions and your donations, and together we can affect a change and change the direction of where America is going. We don't have to change everybody's heart. We just need to change a remnant. Now, the Nazis understood this for evil. The communist Chinese, the communist Russians understood this for evil. They understood that you only needed something like 4 to 8% of the population to be a Nazi or to be a communist, and you could flip an entire nation if you could just pull together 4% to 8% of the people. The Nazis, the communists knew you didn't have to change all of the people. You just had to change 4% to 8%. I think in communist Russia, they just changed 4% of the people. And that dedicated 4% initiated a full-blown communist revolution. In America, if we could change the hearts and minds of just 4%, and 4% of those people that call themselves Christians, we could change the direction of America's future. That's what this ministry is about. I'm not here to play games. If I was here to play games, I wouldn't do topics like this. I don't choose my topics to give me the largest audience, because my goal is not just, quote, getting the largest audience. My goal is to communicate truth that can make a difference, because my goal is to reach 4 to 8% of people and change their hearts and minds, because then we can change our nation. But I need to have fellow-minded believers like you who share this vision and this burden to help me with your financial contributions and your donations through intercessory prayer for me, my family, and this ministry, and for spreading our message far and wide. Then it multiplies. No, none of us can do this alone. But when we gather together, even if it's a small amount of people, when we gather together, we can affect huge changes. And that's what God wants. So ultimately, you have to ask yourself the question, God, what do you want from me? I was praying to the Lord yesterday, as I always do in the 4th of July, intercessory prayer, crying out to God, asking Him for wisdom and direction, and feeling the weight of what's coming down. And the Lord speaking to me about standing fast and proclaiming the message that He's given to me to proclaim. So many people are locked out, and that's not pleasing the Lord. Locked out by their unbelief. Oh, there's nothing we can do. They've surrendered to fatalism. They've forgotten that God said, nothing's impossible with me. And I felt the Lord instilling me in my inner man, fortifying me in my inner man by the Spirit of God. And for those of you that are open, you can feel that fortifying power of the Holy Spirit touching you now. It's not your imagination. It's like electrical tingles. You can feel the fortifying Spirit of the Holy Spirit building you up right now. Because you know that the words that I'm speaking to you are true and they're filled with life. I'm not entertaining you. I'm telling you the truth. Now, if you receive the truth, which is the Spirit of truth, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you. He'll fortify you. He'll provide for you. He'll give you guidance and show you what to do. And together we can take back the land. So I want to encourage you with all my heart to seek the Lord. Open your heart to the Lord. Let Him strengthen you with His power. Let him fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let Him birth revival inside of you. And then do and stand wherever the Lord tells you to stand. Do it with His wisdom, His intelligence, His strategy. And walk in His ways. And if we do that, we can affect victory. We can affect victory because God has a purpose for America and God has a purpose for your life and my life. Don't allow the enemy and the voice of the enemy to defeat you. Rise in the power of the Holy Spirit. And all that takes is a mustard seed of faith. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.